Good evening and welcome to the Heritage of Faith, sponsored by Heritage Baptist Church in New York City, committed to proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ in an atmosphere of love. We seek to glorify God by leading people to salvation in Christ and encouraging believers towards spiritual growth by relating the Bible to their daily lives. Please stay with us for the next 60 minutes as Pastor Matthew Recker opens the Word of God so you could be encouraged to follow in the heritage of faith.
And we are thankful to be here and thank you for listening this evening as we get into God's Word. We're going to be in John chapter 4 tonight on the great story of Jesus and the Samaritan woman where he meets her at the well. And the challenge tonight will be simply why we must go. Why we must go out with the gospel. Why we must go share Jesus. Why we must go soul winning. Jesus says that he must go. In John chapter 4, verse 4, Scripture says, and he must needs go through Samaria. Do we must go with the gospel? Do you have a must in your soul to share Jesus Christ with others? That's the challenge this evening. Welcome to the Heritage of Faith program as we get into God's Word. Commercial-free, political-free talk. Man, I'm getting so tired of political talk these days. We want to hear the Bible, God's Word. Well, this is such a wonderful story as we see that soul winning and sharing the gospel is truly the one, if not the most important thing that as Christians we can do to affect change in our world and to answer society's real and foundational root problems. To a culture decaying morally and spiritually, witnessing is the ultimate solution to the problems that we face. Now, I know you might be thinking I'm being overly simplistic or thinking, well, that won't work or we've tried that already. Well, but we must fulfill the Great Commission, dear friends. We must go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's the great commandment of the Great Commission of our great Savior. That is the commandment he gave before he ascended into heaven. Go! And he himself went. Well, welcome to the Heritage of Faith program. Our phone lines are open at 1-800-345-9622. And I believe we have Wisconsin and Milwaukee listening tonight on internet radio. So we welcome any Wisconsin, Milwaukee, Wisconsin listeners out there. God bless you. We trust that this program could be an encouragement to you. Our phone lines are 1-800-345-9622. If you want to just call in, first of all, for prayer and to share burdens with Pastor Carmine is here and Brother Vinny and Vinny's wife, Grace, is here. So if you would like to speak to a woman's heart tonight, you ladies out there, feel free to give a call and let us pray with you. Let us encourage you in the Word of God. Let us share a scripture with you that can help give you hope and help, life, and the love of God in your heart. Also, maybe you just want to call tonight and ask a witnessing question. Maybe somebody you're witnessing to and you say, you know, how do I go about this? I'd love to hear from you tonight. If you're witnessing to somebody, maybe a Muslim, maybe a Jewish person, maybe a family member, witnessing is a great challenge. I remember as a new believer starting to witness and feeling intimidated and wondering how to go about it, but just doing it and actually doing this thing of witnessing got me into the Word of God even more because I wanted to know where to find the verses. I wanted to know how to find the answers. And so witnessing kind of fed me a greater desire to be in the Word of God. So maybe you have a question tonight about witnessing to a particular person, a burden on your heart, or maybe you just want us to pray for somebody you're witnessing to this evening. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a son or a daughter that's not saved. Maybe it's a husband or a wife. Maybe a coworker or a neighbor. Someone you're burdened for, you want to see God change them and save them. We'd love to hear from you tonight. Again, the number is 1-800-345-9622. We have a lot we could talk about in this matter of witnessing this evening. You have a deep burden on your heart. Maybe you're not saved. Let us share the gospel with you. Or maybe you just have a story you'd like to share as an encouragement that God has, how God has used you to be a witness for Him. So the phone lines are open. Pastor Carmine is here. One of our faithful members, two of our faithful members, Grace and her husband, Vinny and his wife. Vinny and Grace are here. We're really glad. Thank you guys for coming out tonight on this windy Sunday. 1-800-345-9622. Let's look at this, John 4. Why we must go soul winning. I want to share with you three important points from this passage. But first, let me share a little story of Hudson Taylor, the great missionary. He was in China on a Chinese boat, traveling with a Chinese friend, Peter. Peter knew the gospel, but he had not been saved. And Taylor was down in his cabin nearing his destination when he heard a sudden splash and a cry. He heard a man was overboard. Hudson Taylor came onto the deck, and Peter was missing. The boatman was unconcerned. He said, "Yeah, somebody fell in the water over there." It was a common occurrence. Hudson looked around in great agony, suspense, looking for Peter. Where was he? He was gone. He didn't know what to do. Well, he looked over, and there he saw the sight of some fishermen. They had a dragnet, and he was thinking, this is just the thing we need. And so he started to shout to these fishermen, "Come and drag your net at that spot. A man is drowning. A man is drowning. You must save him right away." And the fisherman with the dragnet said, "It is not convenient. There was no hurry. They had no sense of responsibility. They said, it is not convenient. We're busy fishing. How much will you give us? How much will you give us?" And Taylor said, $5. I'll give you $5. Only don't stand talking. Quick, save life without delay." Taylor had great urgency. His friend was drowning. And the fisherman shouted across the water, "That's too little money. We will not come for less than $30. And Taylor said, "I don't have that much money. I'll give you all I've got." And they said, "How much will that be?" "How about $14? So upon this, they finally came. They dragged their net, and they brought up Peter. He was there. But all of Taylor's efforts to restore his life were in vain. Peter was dead. He was sacrificed because of the callous indifference to those who might easily have saved him. Now, we could easily condemn those heathen fishermen. And yes, they were guilty of a man's death. They could have saved him, but they did not do it. They did not act with any care, compassion, or concern. But what about the millions whom we leave to perish? And that for all eternity, even in hell. We say, it's not convenient for me to go out tonight and witness. I'm too busy. How much will I get out of it? Dear friends, so many Christians, so many believers have such a slight burden for the eternal destiny of souls. Or they have such a slight care for the local church and for giving to a church that is working and giving its funds so that the gospel could go out. Many Christians are so loyal to their own jobs. Some will never miss a day of work. And yet they'll slip out of church and be unconcerned about being in the house of God or giving of their offerings so that the church could provide and support missionaries. Oh, there's a lot of, it's not convenient. We are busy fishing. How much will you give to us? That's what the heathen fishermen said. And that's what a lot of Americans are saying. That's what even a lot of so-called Christians say today. We must go soul winning. Hudson Taylor felt the burden that Jesus had when Scripture says of Christ, he must needs go through Samaria. And may God give us a heart to go and share the gospel with others. Now, when I talk about witnessing or soul winning, what do I mean? I'm saying tonight that witnessing is the preaching of Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit with the ultimate aim that unsaved people will repent of their sins and believe in Jesus Christ for salvation and then serve Him as King in their life. Now, I went out soul winning this past Thursday. We went out into the subways and shared the gospel. No one that I know of was saved, but I was soul winning. My intention was, and I was, sharing the gospel in the power of the Holy Spirit, and my ultimate aim was that unsaved people would repent of their sins and believe in Christ. Now, ultimately, God has to win the soul, but I need to be a soul winner. He that winneth souls is wise. And no Christian can say, I don't have to witness. That's the pastor's job. Or witnessing, it's not my spiritual gift. I don't have the gift of evangelist. No, witnessing is for every believer. Every Christian has been commissioned. Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations and teaching them all things whatever we have been commanded, and so that they are as well baptized. The Great Commission, evangelism and soul winning is a part of that. No Christian can say, I don't have to witness. And as I said earlier, witnessing and missions is the ultimate answer to society's problems. Our culture is decaying spiritually, morally. We need to get out with the gospel. Witnessing is a solution to problems you're having in your personal life. If you have marriage problems, one of the best things you can do is go witness to people with your husband or with your wife. Go witness to those who are dying and going to hell. And you'll realize that whatever problems you have are not as great as the problems that they have if they're without Jesus. Witnessing is a solution because it's confrontational, it's personal. It's seeing hearts changed one at a time. And so here we see Jesus Christ go into Samaria confronting a woman lost in sin. Now, dear friends, maybe you're lost tonight and you're in sin. We're going to see this lady. She was very immoral. She had had five husbands, and the one she was living with, the fifth one, wasn't even her husband. The sixth one, I'm sorry, she had had five husbands, and now she was living with somebody who was not her husband. Wow. And so Jesus Christ knew this woman's heart, and yet He must needs go through Samaria to reach her. So however you may feel about yourself, you may think that you're not even worth the love of God to save you. God loves you. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him, that means you, you're a whosoever. You're in the world, and you're a whosoever. And God loves you, and Jesus Christ died on the cross for the sins of the world. He loved you that much that He left heaven to go to a cross, to shed His blood, to die in your place, to die the hell that we deserve. And He, in power, rose again from the dead. He's alive today, seated at the Father's right hand. Call upon Him, and He will save. Whosoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Repent of your sin. That is, change your mind and turn from your sin and turn to God in simple faith. In faith, believing that Jesus will save you. And if we could help you at all, 1-800-345-9622 is the number. 1-800-345-9622. That's the number. Our phone lines are open. If you need Jesus, if you have a question about witnessing, if you have a heart for somebody to pray for you, get to us right now. Again, 1-800-345-9622. So we're going to look at this first point in just a moment about how soul winning, why we must go. Because, first of all, we see that soul winning confronts heart hostility. Now think about those words. That soul winning confronts the hostility that is in every heart. The hatred, the anger, the tensions that exist. And there were tensions as Jesus meets this woman of Samaria. But He broke through all those tensions and confronted her heart with His love and broke through. Okay, let's take a call here. Thank you for calling, Bob, and we'll have you and welcome you to the Heritage of Faith program tonight.
Thank you, Pastor. I just like to say that I came very close to committing suicide, but I prayed to Jesus and just lifted me out of my depression. He actually saved my life.
Amen.
I feel so relieved. I used to be so paranoid, and every little thing used to bother me. But I have peace and serenity now in my soul. Jesus is in me, and I feel so gratified. Thank God.
Praise the Lord, Bob. Did somebody share the gospel with you, or when did you come to know Christ?
But today I went to a church close to where I live, and I came within it was in the middle of the service, and everybody was so nice to me, and the pastor came over and he prayed with me.
It was today. You came to know Jesus today as your Savior.
Yes. Yes, today is the day.
Oh, praise God. And so, in other words, yesterday at this time, you were very depressed and considering suicide. And
yes,
now today, he's delivered you, and you have a peace in your heart.
Yes, I feel so, I feel at ease now. I used to be very paranoid, and Jesus is within me, and he's given me this serenity that I never knew before.
Well, you know, Rob, is it Rob or Bob?
Either is good. Oh. Rob is good.
Rob, praise God. You know, that's what Jesus does. You use that word paranoid. I also had a paranoia because of drugs that I had was doing at the time when I was not saved. And the same thing happened really with me, brother, is I went into a church and I heard the word preached. I believed in Christ, and it was like, that was all lifted out of me, and the Holy Spirit came into me, and I just had this peace of God that passes all understanding come upon me. And you know what? That's what Jesus said when let me give you a verse in John 16:32. Jesus said, "These things have I spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." So, peace be to you, my brother, and may the peace of God and the grace of God continue to strengthen you day by day. Stay in the Word now, Rob, okay, and keep following Jesus. Let me have a prayer with you, okay?
Yes, Pastor.
As a new believer, Father God, thank you for Rob tonight calling. Thank you for doing your work of salvation in him today. Thank you, dear God, and we pray now as he has experienced your peace of salvation. Lord, your Holy Spirit is a spirit of love and joy and peace. And so, Lord, bless our brother tonight and continue to guide him and shelter him and empower him, Father God, with your love. And, Lord, may he be a witness, a mighty witness, even as this Samaritan woman was drastically and immediately transformed and changed, and you used her, Lord, to be a witness to her city. Use Rob as a witness for you now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you, Rob. Thank you for calling, brother. God bless you. Hallelujah for the power of the gospel to save. 1-800-345-9622 is the number, and we'd love to hear from you. Now, so we're looking at John 4. Let's say this first of all. Witnessing confronts and overcomes the hostility of the heart. You see, when Jesus got to Samaria, he was tired. He was exhausted. It says he came to a city of Samaria, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, being wearied with his journey, sat down on the well. And it was about the sixth hour. Then cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. In the midst of Jesus' tiredness, weary, he was beaten down because of the things he was going through, but he wasn't too tired to witness of the life-giving water he came to provide. Now, he says it must needs go through Samaria. And here comes a woman of Samaria to draw water. And here is what Jesus does. How does Jesus deal with this woman of another culture? How does he go about sharing truth with her when this culture and the Jewish people despise one another. You see, the Samaritans were a mixed ethnic group, part Jewish, part Gentile. They grew out of the Assyrian captivity of the northern kingdom Israel. Idolatry prevailed in that northern kingdom. And so many of the Jewish people intermarried with the Gentiles around them. And then the Samaritans established their own temple, their own religious services on this Mount Gerizim. And she refers to this mountain. She says, our fathers worshipped in this mountain. We worship in this mountain and you worship over there in that mountain of Mount Zion. But many of their customs were corruptions of the Mosaic Law. In 130 B.C., John Hyrcanus destroyed the temple on Mount Gerizim and it was never rebuilt. And there was intense hatred between the Jewish people and the Samaritan people. The religious Jewish people even accused Jesus of being a Samaritan, some kind of mixture between Jew and Gentile. So there was an intense hatred between the Jewish and the Samaritan people. So in going through Samaria, Jesus shows he's not influenced by the cultural tensions of the day. He's not going to be dissuaded from sharing the gospel with those that his culture said, don't go through there. He does not allow a culture of hate to affect him. It shows his courage. It shows his fearlessness. It shows his compassion. Humanly, it was dangerous even for him to go through Samaria. But Jesus places the value of a soul above his own safety. So Jesus breaks through all this cultural tension, all of this, all of the things that had happened between the Jewish people and the Samaritans, because there had been a lot of killings between these different groups. There was all kinds of feuds going on between them. And Alfred Eidersheim, in his famous classic book, The Life and Times of Jesus the Messiah, even talks about how Jewish people responded to the Samaritans with contempt. Like one Jewish person said, may I never set my eyes on a Samaritan. And the Samaritans, on the other hand, had sold Jews into slavery. They tried to desecrate the temple on the eve of the Passover. They would even plot to have the Jewish travelers who would go from Galilee to Jerusalem, they would plot to kill them on the road. That's why the Jewish people would go around Samaria. They wouldn't go through Samaria, but Jesus goes through Samaria. What does Jesus say? What does he do? How does he begin? He shows his interest. He asks her for a favor. So how do we witness to others? Be interested in them. How can you show interest in them? Ask them for a favor. He says to her, as a woman came to draw water, Jesus said, give me to drink. Now again, the Jews didn't have these interactions with the Samaritans. But Jesus actually shows compassion for asking of a favor. And she said, how is it that you are, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? The Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. There was a lot of bad blood between them. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, you would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Dear friends, the best way for a Christian to deal with tensions in a culture is to speak with people and just share the gift of God with all and everyone we meet. It doesn't matter what color a person's skin is. It doesn't matter what country they are from. It doesn't matter what language they speak. They need the gift of God. Jesus said, if you knew the gift of God. I remember I started a church in an African-American community where there were a lot of West Indians moving in. And we passed out gospel tracts. And a dear woman came to our church one morning. And when we introduced people, we introduced visitors back then. It was not a large church. So if there was a visitor, we said, hey, stand up and let us know why you're here today and how you're in our church, how you found out about us. And then she stood up. She said, I want to know why you're here. And why you're in this neighborhood, is what she said to me. And you could hear a pin drop. And I answered with John chapter 4, verse 10. I said, we're here to share the gift of God. That's all. All men need to know Jesus Christ and have this living water. And you know, Gladys was disarmed by my response, praise God, and she and her husband continued in our church and became such faithful members in our church. Gladys became a dear friend to me and to my wife. One morning, I got a phone call from Gladys. This was years ago now. And her husband, Jerry, had been run over and killed in a hit-and-run accident. She wanted me to go to her home and share this awful news with her grandson, whom they were raising. And so I went to that home and with tears shared with their grandson what had happened to his grandfather. We continued our friendship with Gladys. I preached Jerry's funeral, of course, after he was killed in that hit-and-run accident. And then years later, when Gladys passed away, I preached her funeral as well. And you know, the first time we met, she said, "I want to know why you're here." And I just shared this simple verse, "I'm here for the gift of God." And beloved, that's what we should be doing, sharing the gift of God with people. So let's do all we can to share the gospel. Let's share Jesus with others. I want to play a song here. Our phone lines are open, and we'd love to hear from you. What a great call from Rob, how God opened up his heart today. Maybe God is speaking to your heart this evening. Maybe you're feeling paranoid. Maybe you're feeling the great guilt and the burden of sin on your soul this evening. Turn to Jesus and give us a call. Let us help you. Let us point you to Jesus. Let us pray with you. Maybe you have a burden tonight. Maybe there's an unsaved family member or somebody that you've been witnessing to and you would just like prayer support in your witnessing endeavors. Get to us right now at 1-800-345-9622 and let's give all that we have, however little, however much. And here's a beautiful song, "Lord, Here's My Basket." Maybe you feel that you don't have much to give. Give it to Jesus. The phone lines are 1-800-345-9622. Get to us.
Come on. Bye.
So give what you have to the Lord. It might not be much, but God could use us. So here's Jesus going through Samaria. He's overcoming heart hostilities between the Jews and the Samaritans by sharing the gospel. This is cross-cultural ministry. How does he do it? He shows an interest in the Samaritan woman. He asks her a favor, give me to drink. He's focused on the essential, the gift of God, which is the living water. So many times people will try to sidetrack us into arguments, but Jesus kept his conversation on track, the gift of God. And as you go through the story, actually notice how the woman does try to sidetrack Jesus on controversies about culture. For example, she says, how would they that you ask drink of me? You're Jewish, I'm Samaritan. She tries to sidetrack Jesus on cultural controversies. She tries to sidetrack Jesus on places of worship. Why? We worship on this mountain, you worship on that mountain, and get him maybe into an argument over religion. Jesus didn't take her bait, and he wasn't there to argue about religion. He was there to share the gift of God, everlasting life, salvation, because he says salvation is of the Jews. Everlasting life, verse number 14, the gift of God. That's what we need to be focused on. The gift of God in verse 10, everlasting life in verse 14, and salvation in verse 22. And then, as we confront these hard hostilities, not only must we be interested in others and be focused on the essential, but be confident in the living water. Jesus says, whosoever drinketh of this water, the water that she was going to get out of Jacob's well, will thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Now some of you have been drinking at the well of immorality, that as this woman was. Some of you have been drinking at the well of gambling. Some of you have been drinking at the well of drugs. Some of you have been drinking at the well of power and popularity. And those are your idols. Those are your gods. Popularity. You'll do anything to be popular. Some of you are drinking at the well of fashion. Come to Jesus and drink of him, and Jesus Christ will be to you true satisfaction. So Jesus is confident that he has the water that she really needs. And beloved, Jesus Christ can truly satisfy. Jesus satisfies. His salvation is not a stagnant pond, but a living, flowing, bubbling fountain of water that springs up and never runs dry. That's what he talks about. This water springs up to everlasting life. You know why? Because it came down from heaven and it leads us back to heaven. This water came down from heaven and bubbles back to heaven. Water always seeks its level. This is heavenly water. So it bubbles up to heaven because it came from heaven. So, soul winning. Why we must go soul winning? Number one, because soul winning confronts heart hostilities. There's hostilities in many people's hearts. Number two, soul winning confronts, or should I say it this way, soul winning convicts of deep-seated immorality. Soul winning convicts people of their deep-seated sins. So Jesus offers to her everlasting life. And so then she says, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. So what does Jesus now say? He doesn't say, okay, I'll give it to you. No, he says, go, call your husband and come hither. Now, why does he do that? Because he's bold to confront her sin. And that's what we must ultimately do as we're soul winners. We need to be loving, but we need to be bold enough to confront people of their sin. And this woman, I could see her stammer and stutter, but yet she honestly admits. She's honest, and Jesus is testing her honesty when he says, go call your husband. Notice he said, go call your husband and come hither. And the woman said, I have no husband. And in fact, she didn't. Her life was a real life soap opera. Maybe she had been divorced multiple times. Maybe a previous husband died. We don't know any of those details of what had happened to her five previous husbands. But we can conclude that she was immoral because she was living with a man that was not her husband. She said, I have no husband. And Jesus said, you have well said you have no husband, for you have had five. And he who you now have isn't your husband. You know, you could be living with somebody, but that doesn't make them your husband or your wife. And this is becoming a very popular thing in our society. Young people are living with someone else that they're not married to before getting married. This is called fornication, dear friends. This is not honoring to God. And if you say you're a Christian, you need to repent of this. And if you say, I'm not going to repent, you're giving evidence you're not saved, because fornicators will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. But this much we know as well, though. This woman was a shipwrecked life. She was burned out by sin. Her life was like a real-life soap opera. She was a hurting soul. She was scarred by sin. I mean, this woman would be like a potential candidate for like the Jerry Springer show. That is some crazy show. I don't watch it. The only time I ever watch is when I bring my car to the oil change place and have to sit in these lobbies and they got these silly shows on. I have to just shut my ears from the silliness of people's lies. But it reminds me of this woman, a shipwrecked life, a wasted, burned out soul. How about you tonight? Is that where you're at? Jesus Christ can save you and give you peace. Like Rob called earlier, 1-800-345-9622. That's the number. Let's hear from you this evening at 1-800-345-9622. We'd love to hear from you, maybe your story. Maybe you want us to pray for your child, for your son or your daughter. Some of you have children who are ensnared in immorality or ensnared by drugs, right? There's people out there, I know there are. And we're not here to judge you. We're here to help you. We're here to really just hold up your hands tonight, because there's godly people who have their children living in ways not pleasing to God. And it's a burden to your heart. It's a burden to our hearts as well. Let us bear your burden at 1-800-345-9622. Let's take a call here from Samantha. Thank you for calling, Samantha. And you're on the Heritage of Faith.
Good night, Pastor. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, sister. Thank you for calling.
Okay, I listened to the program. Really encouraged by what you're saying.
Thank you so much.
Yes. I'm calling to hear a testimony about myself.
Okay. Help yourself, Samantha.
Okay. Yes. I go to church every Sunday. I go to the Brooklyn Tabernacle. And it's beautiful people who praise God. Beautiful message to Pastor Simbala. And God is really blessing me in my walk with Him. I'm obeying the Bible, living right. And I really love God with all my heart. And I want to live for Him and do what's pleasing to Him. And I want to be a witness for Him. And I want to go to heaven when He comes back.
Well, are you saved, Samantha? Do you know Jesus?
Yes, I was baptized, yes.
Okay, well, we're not saved through our baptism. We're saved by grace alone, through faith in Jesus, by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ from our heart. If we confess with our mouth
that
Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God has raised Him from the dead, we shall be saved. So praise God for that, Samantha, and thank you for calling tonight. We appreciate that so much. 1-800-345-9622. And we want to invite you to our church. I haven't even mentioned our church. Another church got a mention there. So we want to invite you to Heritage Baptist Church. We are a loving church family in the heart of Manhattan. And if you're looking for a Bible-believing church where you will hear God's Word spoken, where you can meet other Christians from all cultures and all walks of life, come on out and visit with us at Heritage. We have a beautiful church body. Pastor Carmine has been in our church coming up on 20 years. Brother Vinny has been in our church for about 16 years, he said this morning. Praise God for that. So we'd love to have you come. On Sunday, we meet at 490 Hudson Street, which is a school, at 490 Hudson Street in the heart of Greenwich Village, Manhattan. And you could take the number one train to Christopher Street, Sheridan Square stop. That's the closest train. Or you could take the many trains to the West 4th station, and it's not far from the West 4th Street station. Or you could take the PATH train from New Jersey. So come on over from New Jersey to the PATH train. It's just a half a block to 490 Hudson Street, right on the corner, basically, of Christopher Street and between Grove Street. On Sunday, we have a Bible study at 10, and 11 o'clock is our morning service. We'd love to have you. We also have a full thing, a full schedule of activities. We have soul winning on Thursday night. We have our prayer fellowship on Wednesday. We have a Monday night discipleship institute. Ladies, we have a women's prayer lunch, women's fellowship on Saturday, April 9th. So we invite maybe one of the ladies to our prayer fellowship if you'd like to come to our Heritage Ministries office. This Saturday, April 9th, from 1 o'clock to 3:30 at 519 8th Avenue. And one of our deacon's wives is heading that up, Sister Lynn Tia. We're thankful for her. So God is good. We invite you to Heritage Baptist Church. And if you're saved, you need to be in a good Bible-believing church somewhere. And come on and check us out and visit with us. We would be honored to have you to be with us at Heritage. Why we must go soul winning? That's what we're sharing tonight. Number one, because soul winning confronts heart hostilities. There was a lot of hostility between Jews and Samaritans, but Jesus in love broke through that hostility and shared the gift of God, shared the power of his everlasting life, shared salvation with this Samaritan woman. Number two, soul winning convicts people of their deep-seated immorality. And maybe you've been burned out by sin tonight. Let Jesus save you and deliver you tonight. And he can give you that salvation and everlasting life. Let me share a little story, by the way. When the day I began our ministry in New York City back in 1984, we were starting a church in Flatbush, Brooklyn. I got church brochures made up, and I went out and I start passing the brochures out. The first day I came to a corner, and there were three people standing on that corner: Carter, Mrs. Green, and a guy they called Runt. And I shared with Carter and Runt and Mrs. Green, well, I'm going to start a church, and here's our brochure. We'd love to have you visit with us and think about coming to our opening service in a few weeks. Carter grabbed my hand and led me away from his two friends, and he began to cry, and he just said, "I need Jesus, I need Jesus, I need Jesus." And so I shared with Carter Jesus Christ. And at the end of our conversation, and we talked for a while, he said, "Come on and tell my wife." "Well, let's go tell my wife." And so we went, we told his wife. And over the next year, I visited with Carter and his wife multiple times. And it turned out that he had cancer and he was dying, and she had kidney failure and she was dying. And within a year, she died. 2 weeks later to the day, Carter died. They had two sons, 5-year-old and a 7-year-old. And recently, about 2 or 3 years ago, I just looked on Facebook. I was like wondering if these boys were on Facebook. And I found them, and I wrote a message. I didn't hear from them. But just this past week, one of those boys reached out to me. And he said, "Pastor Recker, we would love to hear from you." And because, you see, I knew their parents, and their parents died when they were so young. And so praise God for that. So Lord willing, in a few weeks, I'm going to meet with these two young men. Now they're mid-30s. And they've done so well, even though their parents died when they were young. They've gone to school, and they've prospered, and they're successful in their lives. And I'm so looking forward to meeting them and seeing them again and sharing with them a little bit of what I knew about their parents. So pray for them. Pray that I'll be a continued blessing. So you see the blessing of soul winning. That was 30-some-odd, that was in 1984, 32 years ago, I went out soul winning. And I'm still have contacts and relationships based on that. Soul winning convicts people of their deep-seated immorality. And the third thing I want to say is that soul winning conquers cultural idolatry. Soul winning conquers cultural idolatry. What do I mean by that? Notice these verses verses 19 and following, the woman said, "Sir, I perceive that you're a prophet," because he told her everything she was doing. And then she said, "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." Jesus said, "Woman, believe me, the hour comes when you shall neither in this mountain or yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. The hour cometh and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he has come, he will tell us all things." And Jesus said to her, "I that speak unto thee am he." And when the woman heard that, she left her water pot. She had the living water. She went her way. She went into the city. And she said, "Come and see a man which has told me everything that I've ever done. Is not this the Christ?" And she became a mighty soul winner herself instantly. Well, my point here is that soul winning conquers cultural idolatry. You see, this woman was like so many New Yorkers. She was religious, but she wasn't saved. And her religion was really a cultural religion. And her religion, this might sound strange and a bit harsh, but it's true, her religion was not true. She was religious but lost. She was religious in that she went to a place of worship. She said, "Our fathers worshipped on this mountain." She confined worship to a place. She believed in God. She believed that her fathers were right to worship somewhere. She even had the hope of a Messiah. But she was lost. She was living in sin. Her worship of God was confined to a place. She didn't realize God was spirit. Jesus had to break through her cultural, traditional, religious ideas. You see, cultural, religious ideas based on this is the way our fathers worshiped, this is the way my mommy and daddy worshiped, this is the way my grandma and grandpa worshiped, not what the Bible teaches, those things keep us from truth. So come to Jesus. Like most people, she had a religion, but she wasn't saved. And she needed a living faith that would bring about true change in her soul. Her faith didn't have vital meaning that created practical change in her life. Only Jesus can do that. So Jesus says, "They that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth." You see, we worship God not through ceremonies and not through forms and feasts or just outward things that we do, but we worship God based upon who he is in spirit and truth. The Father is spirit, and we worship him in spirit. We must worship God based on the truth of Scripture. 1-800-345-9622. That's the number. We welcome you to our program. And we have Pastor Hoover. Let me go to Pastor Hoover calling from Milwaukee. Thank you, brother, for calling. And thank you for putting our program out there in Milwaukee.
Absolutely. And I appreciate you giving us permission to do that, as well as the guys there at the Mission at Salem, helping us get everything going. And so I want to say I appreciate the lesson tonight. I didn't know what it was going to be, but it's really been a blessing to me. I got some points for maybe a sermon down the road.
Yeah, well, hopefully it can help a little bit, you know.
Yes, sir.
Well, good, Brother Hoover. Well, God bless you there. How's the ministry going in Milwaukee, Wisconsin?
Going well. We had snow yesterday, and today was 65 degrees. So I'm glad it was 65 today and not snow.
There you go.
But we had just good services today. Appreciate you asking.
Okay. Well, God bless you. Say hello to your dad,
yes,
right? You serve there with
your
dad.
Yes, sir.
And what's the name of the church?
Yes, sir. Souls Harbor Baptist Church.
Right. Souls
and
Harbor.
And you're on Lighthouse. Yeah.
Well, thank you, brother. God bless you
there,
okay?
Souls Harbor Baptist Church. Yes, sir. Take care.
Okay. All right. Let me take one more call here. And, okay, Pastor Carmine is, yes, reminding me. We are praying that God would provide a permanent place for us in New York City. We call this our Project Rehoboth. And we're asking you to pray and even fast with us that God would provide a place. And if God puts on your heart to even provide a gift for our place in Manhattan, we would really appreciate you sharing your love for us. If everyone even donated a dollar, that would be great. We're not asking you to give much, but we are asking you to prayerfully pray for us. And if the Lord puts something on your heart to give, we'd appreciate that. And for our New York City listeners especially, as you've been listening to our program, this program is a great expense to our church. So we pray for us that God would continue to meet the need. You could send your gift to Heritage Baptist Church, P.O. Box 7925. New York, New York, 10116, and you can listen to the end of the program. That address will be given again. Let's go to Carol in the Bronx. Thank you for calling. Carol, you're on the Heritage of Faith.
Yes, I heard a preacher today on the station say that somebody died, a friend of his, of cancer, and he and his group prayed when he died, when he was dead, that Jesus would raise him up from the dead. I got confused. I thought you couldn't do that. I thought you had to pray for people before they die. And once they die, you can't pray for that Jesus to raise them up after they're dead.
Yeah, well, I don't know who that was, but I don't know the program there. But it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. And, you know, so... You know, we are not a prosperity gospel ministry here, or, you know, we don't believe in those so-called sign, miraculous gifts of healing. We believe God could heal. God could do anything. But that does sound a little bit out there to me, Carol. I do believe we need to pray for those who need Christ before they die.
I was confused because I'm not going to mention anything, but not everything on this station, and would I agree with?
Not everything. So thank you. Thank you for calling.
I want to make sure I'm telling people the right thing.
Yep. Okay. Thank you, sister. God bless you. Thank you for listening. Have a great day.
Thank you for tuning into the Heritage of Faith. We would be so honored to have you as a guest at our church. Sunday services are at 490 Hudson Street between Christopher Street and Grove Street in New York City. Again, that's 490 Hudson Street between Christopher Street and Grove Street in New York City. Bible study hour begins at 10 and Sunday morning fellowship services begins at 11. For more information or if you need help with prayer or encouragement, you may call us at 212-947-5316. That's 212-947-5316. You can also write to us at Heritage Baptist Church, P.O. Box 7925, New York, New York, 10116. You may also visit us on the web at www.hbcnyc.org. That's www.hbcnyc.org. Join us again next week at 8:30 p.m. for the Heritage of Faith, sponsored by Heritage Baptist Church. Until then, rejoice in the Lord.